Second Chronicles chapter number 23 and verse number 9. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of the hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. The Lord will stand by me and help me today. I want to preach to you on David's old weapons. Our Father and our God, we are here again this morning. Again, it's become the kind invitation. But again, Lord, it's more because we do feel the urgency of the hour and the obligation to preach the gospel. And so again today, Lord, I pray that you would just touch these lips of clay. When I reach for a thought, Lord, let it be there. Lord, let these hearts be open to receive your word today. Encourage our hearts, God, to fight the good fight of faith. Give us victory on the altars, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a Bible reader, you know the history of the story. All of the king's royal seed has been destroyed. You know, I like the way God does things. I always was for the underdog. I mean, I just always just wanted to be, you know. A few times it's not worked too good, Brother Neil. You know, when you walked up and said, it's a private party, or can anybody join, you know. But all the promises of the bloodline of deliverance comes down in this chapter to one baby. All the king's royal seed has been destroyed except one little baby who's been stolen away and hid in the house of God. For years now, for 6 years, six long years, Athaliah has run the kingdom to suit herself. And it looks like that she has really accomplished what she wanted to do. But hid away under the teaching of the old priest was one baby boy growing up. Finally, there came a day when the old priest sends out through all the country. Find the Levites that have run away. Find them that have been scattered because of the persecution. Find the priest and find all of those and bring them in to the house of God. Nobody else but them. When he gets them in there, he tells them, there's still one man that has the right to the throne. There's still one pure bloodline. He's here. And we're going to make him king again. How are we going to do it? I mean, she's got the standing armies. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take all of David's old weapons down off the wall. You see, it seems that when David would win a battle, when David would conquer a nation, when David would go out and great victory, that there were certain instruments of war that some way, somehow to him became consecrated and dedicated and acknowledged as something, an implement that he had used to bring victory. And so he brought it back like Goliath's sword and hang it upon the walls as a testimony, amen, as a memorial to what God had done. And so when it came that time after six long years of drought in the house of God, after this time of looked like that the evil had won and victory was no going to ever be again, amen, some priest goes back and he looks at those memorials on the wall and he said, I'm going to take that down and I'm going to use that. And so he takes all these weapons and he arms the captains and he says, surround the king and keep the king. We're going to anoint him. We're going to use these weapons. Well, I feel like telling us in the hour that we're living in that it's time we need to go back to those things that worked yesterday. I mean, there's some things. You know, Samson, they bound him. They let him out there shouting the victory till he come to a certain place. And he looked around and said, this looks like a good place for a wrestling match. And so he snapped off those binds and he reached over and took the jawbone of an ass. And the Bible said he killed 1,000 men, stacked them like cordwood. Amen. I know that's impossible and we read that like it's some kind of a story, but my God said it in the Bible. That's exactly what happened. I don't care what commentary tried to explain it away. One man with an old jawbone of an old donkey that had died some years ago grabbed that thing up as a weapon and killed 1,000 men and shouted the victory. But then he threw the weapon away. And all of a sudden he found himself dry. I think I felt him breathe on me. Isn't it amazing? Paul wrote to one church and he said, are you so foolish Having begun in the spirit, are you going to be perfected by the flesh? The very thing that brought us to where we are. If we're not careful, church, we're going to get ashamed of it. Amen. We're going to, you know, I'm sick and tired of going to camp meeting. And they come out of the organization that we preached against 50 years ago with all that those letters behind their name. And they want to come to us now. And we act like they're doing us a favor. We are impressed by all the letters. I'm going to tell you what. The only letters after your name that impresses me is DDH. A double dose of the Holy Ghost. It bothers me when they get in the pulpit, our pulpits, and tell us how they believe in shouting. And then tell us how shouting is so carnal and it's just the running over. There's more to it than shouting. I'm like old man Bill Pryor was. If they are, let's get to it and get back to shouting. Amen. When did you have Samson? God said, God, I'm a dying here. After all this victory, he said, go back and get the jawbone that you throwed away. Go back and get what worked yesterday. And you'll find pure water flowing out of the side of it that'll revive you again. Church, if it was wrong yesterday, it's wrong today. If it was right yesterday, it's still right today. And right's right when everybody quits doing right. They come to me and say, well, you know, this is a new generation. One pastor said to me, now Brother Gabbard, you've got to understand, these kids are facing things like we had ever faced before. Baloney. That's a Hebrew word for you're out of your skull. In the days of Enoch, they were so filthy and so vile and so vulgar and so perverted that God said, I'm going to kill all of them. But in the midst of all of that, Enoch walked with God. So I don't care if you're 6 or 16 or 65. Amen. If you get a good dose of the genuine Holy Ghost, it'll bring you out of the world. It'll get the world out of you. You don't need a ball game to entertain you, son. I'm going to tell you something. This young generation is sports crazy. Oh, help me right here. I worry about the church when the gymnasium and the fellowship hall is bigger than the temple. Something tells me it ain't right somewhere. We got to have something to keep the young people entertained. You know what? There ain't nothing that can entertain you any better. Amen. Than somebody just roaring back and singing a quality song and the Holy Ghost a falling and you a dancing and a shouting and a running up and down the aisles. Amen. Till 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm a preaching. Let's go back and get the old weapons. Amen. They've hung them on the wall as a memorial. In Cleveland, Tennessee, you can no longer buy sermons by the old men. Go and try it. You know what they tell you? Those are in the archives. We don't sell them or reproduce them anymore. We've hung them. You know why? Because this generation don't want this younger generation to find out that there was a group of people one time that was with us that believed in old time, heartfelt, Holy Ghost, sin killing, victorious living, power with God Almighty. Yeah. Yeah, they don't want them to find out because they want to find out why you ain't doing it like they did it. Hey, but I'll tell you why we're trying to put something else into it. We're having seminars. Woo, I felt some cold wind on that. But now I found out a long time ago that a hot stove will bake bread in a cold room. We're having retreats when we need to be having advances. We're having our get-togethers. And we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for a choir. And I like good music. I mean, I have learned, it was hard, but I have learned that God can get in a good choir just like he can in a banjo and a fiddle and a mandolin. It's harder for me to get into it, but God can. But we're sending to teach them how to get it right. And I'll be careful here, Neil, but I've been to some churches from year by year by year. They're more perfect. They know all about it. But where, oh where, is the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Church, I'm going to tell you something. We Pentecostal tongue-talking holy rollers, amen, we ain't nothing without Him. And without Him, we ain't going to do anything. But if we'll go back and take the old weapon, amen, back off the wall, the old weapon of the Word of God, the pure, unadulterated Word of Almighty God, preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, still destroys the yoke and sets the captive free. Amen. Philip went down to Samaria to have a revival amongst the heathen. So he got the latest football player to give his testimony. I love the Lord with all my heart, but I'm going to kill you graveyard dead today. How in the world can you play competition sports and be right with God? How can you tell? I give my testimony. Love the Lord. We pray before we go out there. We're going out there to kill you. We're going to run over top of you. We're going to spike you. And we're going to, whatever it takes to get that pigskin on the other side. Now, church, there's some things I can't. I'm just going to preach like I feel like a preacher. Amen. I feel like a preacher. There's something I can't give you chapter and verse for. But you know what? Them old gray-haired men back yonder who couldn't hardly read their name written in boxcar letters crawled out by the barn in the hog lot, and they prayed until God told them the picture show, that moving picture show, amen, was of the devil and would destroy the church. And they come back preaching against it, but they didn't know a thing about it except the Spirit of the Lord inside of them was telling them, this is detrimental to us. I know we got some of us doing it. We really have. But I've never seen a preacher in these 40 years take up golf that did not grow cold. Now, you may know one, but I ain't seen one. No, sir, I don't believe. There's something about it. I know I can't tell you chapter and verse. There's something about it. Well, first of all, it's the stupidest thing I ever seen in my life. I mean, you hit that ball as far as you can, and then walk out there and find it and hit it again. I mean, there's something about that, I guess, but I don't understand it. But anyhow, there's a bunch of stuff, a bunch of us, that we need to understand that the Spirit of God is what it's going to... If the Spirit of God don't let me feel good about that, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Philip went down to Samaria and got the latest country music star with him to sing and draw the crowd so he could preach. He didn't? Not one way down. What did he do? He went down to Samaria, and there he began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, and unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many of them, were possessed with them, and God broke out a revival. Amen. That put witchcraft out of business. I tell you what we need, preacher. We need a red, white, hot preacher. Amen. Preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost from out of the Bible. The book. So I want to take that weapon down. I want to return to the things that made us strong in the beginning. It's just a wedding ring. It's just a wedding ring. Let's everybody, I want everybody to know I'm married. I'm going to tell you something. I've traveled all over the United States, and for a long time, I speak as a fool. It's not as easy as it used to be. But it used to be, I could go anybody anywhere. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody ever heard of me. I could stop anywhere I wanted to. Amen. Travel anywhere I wanted to travel. And I know that you probably don't think it, but I won Ann's heart, so I must not be the worst person in the world. But I never, ever had one to come on to me anywhere, at a motel or a restaurant or anywhere else I was at. I tell you what I did do. We stopped at a place down yonder in Tennessee because the family was with us. They'd read about it in one of those Southern Living magazines or whatever, you know, about this place where they made these world-famous pancakes. Ann can beat them. But we went in there. They all went ahead and went out. Now, listen, I was in my blue jeans, you'll see me at breakfast here. And I walked up there to pay. That woman looked at me, and she said, "You a preacher, ain't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am, but how can you tell?" She said, "You're a holiness preacher, ain't you?" I said, "I sure am, but how did you know?" She said, "You just got the look, and you just got the voice for a holiness preacher." And then the lamb, you know what? You'd be surprised how many people out there in the world that look like a clown, amen, that know something about holiness. Amen. They ain't living it, but that's why it's important you do everywhere you go. Amen. Dress right, look right, spit white, amen, and talk right. Amen. Because they know how we ought to live it. God help me. Jehoshaphat I tell you how you're going to win this battle. You're going to get your army together. And when you do, you're going to put a bunch of the best old singers you got. I like what you talked about, them old people. I've seen them. I mean, sister Martha Parrott, she dressed. I mean, she probably wore more clothes to bed than some women go to Walmart in. When you never saw her out of her. You never saw her, you know, out without her dress. Her dress, yeah, yeah. And then she had her pinafore apron over top of that. And we could be having a pretty dry service, and Sister Martha would stand up over here and she'd say, "Brother Johnny, would you care if I testified a few words?" And I'd say, "You grow out of head, Mama." And she said, "Well, now I was a picking beans today." Or I was in the corn patch this morning. Or I was out by the hog lot this morning. And God, this I was a praying and God spoke to me, and she'd run her hand in her pocket and pull that little red New Testament out with Psalms in it. And she'd say, I read this scripture out there in the woods. And she'd just read that. And all of a sudden a good sweet spirit would swing over there. Amen. Another old sister that I used to know about, she dry service, she couldn't sing, but she loved it. And I loved to hear her try. Amen, because she'd go to testifying, and she'd go to talking about the things that God is kind of dry in there. She'd throw a little bony hand up, hit a trembling, and she got to singing, "It's the great big hand of God, and you can't do nothing with it. It's the great big hand of God, and you can't do nothing with it." And the power of God with Paul. Amen. He said, I want you to take the singers, and then the Lord's to sing about holy living, and sing about the beauty of holiness, and the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We ain't got no reason to take the tuck head. We are the elite. Amen. You be proud of your own hair. I don't know how many times we go to the hospital somewhere. They walk up to Ann. They ain't got enough hair on their head to water a shotgun. And they'll say, "Boy, your hair is pretty." And because Ann's got me trained better, I don't say if you hadn't cut yours off and changed the color of it 15 times, yours might have been pretty. Amen. You know, they'll look at us. We've let the world, young people, you've let the world browbeat you. You don't have to explain to them how you're trying to live. They think you look crazy. How much crazier can you look with tattoos all over your body? Your hair one color on one side and one the other. Amen. A ring in your nose, one in your lip. You talk about, that ain't just worldliness. That's stupid. And then you're telling me my long sleeves and my long hair and the way I dress is odd? Odd to who? I looked at one of them messes and I thought, my God, if God had made you that way, you'd been madder than far. How are we going to stop this? Well, first of all, hid away in the house of God, there's an answer that you don't know about. Amen. All this time when it's been hopeless, I've been a cultivating the answer. Coming right out of the back room of the house of God. It's coming out of here. Amen. And now it's time. Well, how are we going to... We'll take them weapons back down. We get that sword of Goliath. He said, "Well, none like it." Hey, man, we're going to take that old spear that he took away from that giant, and we're going to take it down. And what's that? That's just an ox gourd. Yeah, but you ain't seen what a man of God can do with one. Yeah, you ain't seen one of us get anointed with one of them. Hey, man, them fellas come over here, you know, with them things they call them nunchucks or whatever. They just put on. I think, buddy, I'd like if you'd met Shamgar. You think you something with them things? I'd like to see him in that patch that day with all he had was that thing right there. And he got to pile them up on every side. Let me tell you something. With God, you are a majority. You and God can do anything. Amen. We need just to come back to the old path. Come back to the old way. Amen. Look it over. Don't tell me you've seen a new light, because all it is a reflection off of the fires of hell you're going to. Well, I used to preach that way. I've got a good friend. He's still a good friend. Every now and then he can't stand it. He'll break away from the Church of God and come slip into one of our services somewhere where I'm preaching. Wayne said, "Brother Johnson, what do you believe?" I said, "I believe just exactly what the Church of God believed before you backslid." He said, "But Brother John, you know, we still got our minute book." I said, "Really?" I said, "Are you ordaining men in adultery?" "Well," he said, "we have some double married preachers on case by case." I said, "Have you ever seen a case you turned away?" Church, we have sat silent. We have sat quiet. We've been ashamed of what our parents told us. I mean, the old preacher that you got under put his finger at you and said, son, you can't live like that and go to heaven. One little black preacher that I went to listen to somewhere, he said, this wild look among the got to getting among us, you know, and he said, I got my hair fixed. He said, I come to church and said, my old bishop looked at me and said, now, son, said, you get on that bench right there and you sit there and don't make a move until the altar's made. Then you get on the altar. You stay on the bench and the altar. That mess gets straightened up and you get prayed through. He said, let me tell you right now. He said, T.D. Jakes ain't got it. God don't bless that mess. You know what? So if we ain't careful, the world's going to rebuke us. They're going to be more. Boy, I just see things are coming in here. I'm trying to get to it. I don't know if I'm going to get to a text today or not. I told you. And they get nervous when I ain't got much. We have forgotten the weapons of our warfare. We are armed and we are dangerous where the devil's at. Well, now, I don't want to preach to, I don't want to run anybody off. Listen, I'm not throwing rocks at you. But when you get between me and the devil, I can't help but hit you. I'm a throwing rocks at him. I'm a trying to run him off. But if you're going to get in front of him, you know, you're probably going to get wounded. I don't understand anybody that's supposed to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and far baptized that can get offended at the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Amen. There is a blessing in Holy Ghost living. As I said a while ago, I love good singing. Boy, we talked last night, man. There is some talent around here. And I love that quartet. I love good quartet singing under the anointing. I love a choir singing. If they'll throw that thing away, come off that choir stool shouting and dancing and run up and down the aisles. But when they're more concerned about getting everything just right than they are bringing glory and honor and praise to God. Amen. Give me an old mama. Amen. Out of the congregation. Amen. With a broke, cracked voice singing, where is my wandering boy tonight? Amen. That all that mess. I punch you singers. Yes, sir. I love singing. I love shouting. I love seat walking. And there have been many of a time when the right song at the right time broke a service wide open. But it wouldn't. Something that was birthed in Hollywood. It sounded so much like some of the... You know, in case you don't know it, this generation of young people ain't hooked on the contemporary rock music. They're hooked on the country music. It's making a comeback. And I'm going to tell you something. Country music is the most dangerous music that I've ever listened to for English-speaking people. When they're singing that kind of music, there's something about it that gets a hold of a man. When I was out yonder in that world living like I was living, I'd do my best. I would promise myself and my mama that I wasn't going to do that no more. Sometimes it'd last 3-4 days. Then I'd get in the old car and start home from work. Of course, I'm going to date myself here, and a lot of you don't know who I'm talking about. But Tammy would get on the fire and sing, Stand By You Man. Or Loretta would sing, I'm Proud To Be A Coal Miner's Daughter. All that stuff would come in there. And then before I got home, I'd stop at the honky-tonk again. Another lost weekend. It'll damn your soul to hell quicker than anything going on right now. Amen. We need to get back to that kind of music that tells the story of the birth of the Lord. The power of the blood. There's power in the blood. There's wonder working power in the blood. We need to get back to our weapons. Did you know it's a lost art among us? Well, I've probably already killed you. Now let's go ahead and bury you. You know, because if I don't, you're going to stink him. But a few years ago, they called me and they said, Brother John said, they voted on you to preach the camp meeting at somewhere. I said, you didn't get it. Said, we nominated you. I said, brother, how could you do that? I wasn't running. I said, I wasn't running for your camp meeting. I don't care. That's where God wants me at. He said, well, let me tell you what they said. I said, well, go ahead. Said, that one brother said, now listen. Said, John Gabbert is a different kind of individual. Said, and he said, he's a good preacher, he said. And said, these things happen sometimes. Said, I can't explain what happens in his meetings sometimes. But said, he can't go 3 days, and you can say amen to this. Said, until he'll milk the bucket plumb full and then kick it over. And probably this morning you think I've kicked the bucket over and took the bucket and beat the horns off the cow out of the gun. But I'm just going to tell you, we used to talk about praying through. We used, Brother Neil, we used to pray through on these things. We, you know what? I had somebody ask me, what does praying through mean? Because we forgot about the art and the weapon of prayer. And let me tell you right now, no man, woman will ever be bigger than their prayer life. Amen. And a preacher that don't pray, and I'm going to tell you something, this scares me. And I think if you know me, you know I'm for young preachers. I'll stand by more than anybody you know of. Amen. I preached Richlands for 20 years and only missed two services. And that wasn't by my choice. I'd be there when them young members preaching. I wanted them to understand I was for them. But in this hour we are living in, with this new technology, you can punch you a couple of buttons and get you a sermon printed out on anything you want to. And we got some young and not so young that are great orators. But it ain't going nowhere. Let me tell you, son, they told me years ago, they said, you keep preaching like you're preaching, you won't have any place to preach. See, I started out when the charismatic movement started up. And it was a phenomenon that was taken. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of our holiness people, a lot of our old people, swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Because they were so concerned about getting their children in church. Well, they're in church. Well, are they any better off when they're made sevenfold more the child of a devil, believing some kind of a false doctrine? But when I looked at that mess, I went out the back door, my dad's house. I walked out on the ridge, the pine thicket, where I had my altar. And I got to praying. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me, Brother Tommy, and he told me, he said, the thing they call the charismatic renewal was birthed in hell. You know what that tells me? Every one of them prosperity preachers out there that's prophesying all these good things, making merchandise of your faith, I'm killing your heroes if I am. But I'm telling you right now, that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They claim to be like us, but they're illegitimate children. They have no right to come to the altar that we do. Hallelujah. I'm telling us today. Amen. You said that. I just don't see how. I know you're preaching revival. I don't see how. Hit away. Hit away deep in the heart of God and the priest in the house of God. There's a secret that's about to come forth. Amen. And once again, young man, if you don't pray, you'll not make it. When I first got in, there was some people, there was a man, he was an overseer of a large organization. But I got to listening to him, and I'm going to tell you something. John could evermore preach. That man could preach. And he'd start to dinner and see somebody on the road, walk over and stop talking to him, witnessing to him. But they made him state overseer and then general overseer. And all of a sudden they put him in a jet and flying him around. He had a secretary to take care of his work. One day the word come to me. The man's gone. Out of the ministry, gone. I thought, my God, how could a man like that go from such nobility to such degradation? And I felt like the Lord told me he got so busy that he lost his prayer life. It would be better not to fill your book for 3 years ahead to where you ain't got no time to pray or get something fresh. Amen. I mean, there was a time we prayed it through. I speak as a fool, Neil, especially since Brother Moore's died. And I'll tell you, I get calls all the time. And it's so pitiful, brother, because they're God's pitiful people. And they're wanting somebody to speak to them. Get a word and speak to them. Give them a word. Whatever happened to praying it through? Whatever happened to praying until you got out there? Preach, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I was there when the next day I'd give my word that I'd pay this man this money. And I'm going to tell you something, $200 was a lot of money in them days. Here's the next day. I went to the prayer out there. I crawled under the fence, went back in that thicket. I got to praying. And I prayed till I prayed through. And God said, don't worry about it. It'll be all right. I come out of there singing, how did you feel when you come out of the wilderness? I got to my mom and dad's little house, and the phone rang and they said, they're having a prayer meeting over on Moore's Creek, up the head of Moore's Creek at Sister Fields' house tonight. And they was wondering if you'd come up to that little prayer meeting, cottage prayer meeting. I said, well, sure, I'll come. And so we went up there and had a little cottage prayer meeting, sang a little exhortation, you know, a little preaching around. I started out of the door to get my car after it was over with. Little old fella come up and wandered up beside me and said, here, Brother Johnny, said, God told me to give you that. I said, okay. You know what? I was so full of the belief in what God was doing, I didn't even look at it. I just went home that night and went to bed. Next morning, I got that $200 check out of my pocket, signed it, and took it and said, here, brother, it's what I owe you. Amen. There used to be a time we heard him praying. Brother, we lived about a half a mile from a holiness man when I was growing up. And we was everything but holiness. I want you to understand that. I don't have a holiness heritage. That's why when Brent was born, then I looked through the glass and told him, I said, son, you don't even know who I am yet. And I said, I ain't got enough money to get you out of this hospital. I said, I'm a holiness preacher. I said, son, you'll probably never have the shiny toys that the other boys has got. You probably won't have the new bicycles and all that kind of stuff because I'm a holiness preacher. I said, I'll tell you what you will have. You'll have a mommy that you'll hear singing the songs of Zion as she makes breakfast. You'd have a mommy that you'll hear getting shouting happy in the kitchen as she's just doing the chores. You'll never wake up to a daddy that's come home drunk, breaking the furniture, and cussing and raring. I promise you that. And you'll have somebody that'll teach you how to pray. Listen, it's important how we take away putting these kids. How do you entertain them? No, we didn't have a television. No kind of other nothing. Poor little Brent growed up that way. You can see how warped it made him. But I tell you what, I got a hold, before I ever met LD, I got a hold of some LD's tapes. And I got them home, and Brent, just a little young'un, got to listen to that tape, and he loved that man. He loved to hear that. And so I gathered every tape I could find of LD across the country. And for years, we went to bed every night, didn't we, listening to LD Moore preaching. Until my son, by the time he was probably 12 years old, could tell LD stories better than LD could. You can teach them. You can give them some entertainment. There's something that'll make them more. That they won't have to have all the other stuff. If they can just, oh yeah. If you'll just guarantee. Oh, we lived a half a mile over the Bill Pratt. If you've heard of my preaching at all, I've talked about him for years. And he was an old man when I first really got really acquainted with him. But one evening in the summertime, we were sitting outside. We didn't have air conditioning. Where I grew up, in the house I grew up in, we had four rooms and a path. Didn't have a bath. Most of you did, too. We sat in the summertime. We sat out there under the old shade tree because it's too hot to be anywhere else. One evening, about the edge of dark, we heard a wailing and a screaming. My old dad looked at me and said, that's coming from Bill Parrott's house. Said looks like maybe some of them's got copperhead. We had some copperheads around. And he said, run, see. And I broke and run. And I went around the road. And I got around there, and he's one of them old brown-sided houses. That low window, big, long, low windows. And I could see right into the living room. There they was. And what had happened, a couple of the girls had come home from Ohio to spend a couple of days. And they was getting ready to go to bed. And they prayed before they went to bed. And they prayed so that the power of God fell. And there's a shouting. That mama and that daddy and those girls were shouting and running up and down. I mean, I turned and run back to the house. But Brother Bill Pratt told me years later, he said, I said, Bill, are we going to have revival this week here? He said, I've been in the shoemake thicket all day. He said, if we don't get it tonight, we'll have it tomorrow night. He said, we'll pray it through. Amen. We didn't just bring in a hard gun somewhere. We had a prayer meeting. I'm talking about that weapon. Let's get back to that holy weapon of prayer, of agonizing, seeking God in prayer. Real, genuine praying is the hardest thing you ever did in your life. But it'll bring joy. Amen. Let's take that back off the wall again. Don't let somebody have a prayer. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's pray until, like that little Levite stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. Amen. I'm just talking a little bit to you. I felt the Lord speak to me this morning at 5:30. Said, just talk about let's going back to them old weapons. Amen. Come on now and preach with me. When do we have more power with God? When do we have more power with God? When did we have more peace with God? When was there more peace in our homes? Amen. When we knew how to pray. When we was not affected by nickels or noses. It didn't matter how dry it was. If God said, you go, we went. Yeah. Yeah. I preach that, Brother Don. I preach that charismatics, and I still preach it. There is a vast difference between us and them. I don't care what you say. Amen. But you know what? There was people that had been my friends, wasn't my friends no more. There's places I wasn't invited back to preach anymore. Because, well, they don't want to stop this. Well, this is a move of God. No, this is a lie of Satan. He's offered you something less. And I remember one time coming in, Brent was a baby. There wasn't no money. There wasn't no meetings. There wasn't anything. And Ann was there trying her best. And I'm going to tell you something, son. When you start looking for a wife, you look for somebody that loves the Lord. I talked Ann into marrying me, and then after I realized I didn't have nothing in this world to offer her, but down the road, I tried to tell her. She said, look, son, I ain't marrying a house. I ain't marrying a car. I ain't marrying clothes. I'll marry you. And if you'll follow God, I'll follow you to the end of the world. That's what it takes in the hour we're living in. But there she was trying not to worry and rocking a baby with no milk in the house. I walked back out in the woods, out through the field. And I've never been like a lot of people, you know. When I really get to, I go to walking. And I get out there in the woods or out there in the fields. And I hear the wind start. And I know the word of God's in the wind. And I got out there and I just laid down that field. And I said, now, Lord, if I'm wrong, I'm big enough to admit I'm wrong. What's going on? And I'll tell you what he told me, brother. He said, you keep on what you're doing. And there'll come a day when they'll call you. They'll come to your house. You don't have to call them for revival. They'll call you. The calls we get today, preacher, the calls we get today are saying we got a pretty good church. We've got money in the bank. We've got a pretty good standard. But we've got a group of young people that have never seen it on that fashion that it was back yonder. It's time we killed Ethaniel. It's time we crowned God the King of Kings and Lord of Lords again. It's time we put the anointed man back where he belongs. Amen. It's time we surround that man of God with David's old weapons. It's time we challenge the enemy like we never have before. And I'm promising you, we're going to have a victory. I'm telling you, we are on the verge of something. I mean, we're on the verge of something. I feel with every fiber in me, we're close to something maybe that we ain't seen for a long time. But I want to see it, don't you? I want to pray through about it, don't you? You know what? Our kids have never seen a genuine miracle. When Sister Bonnie broke her leg, broke her hip, I mean she broke her hip all the way, separated. And she, now don't fall out with me. She didn't take nothing. She didn't go to the doctor. She hadn't all them years. And there she was. 3 weeks she laid like that. Her husband had been backslid 22 years. We'd go and pray for Bonnie, and the power of God would shake her. They finally got her in a hospital bed. That nurse at our church told me and Ann said, don't tell nobody. But I said, Brother John, I said, I know what's happening. I know, after 3 weeks, though, bones that separate, I know what's happening. And I went to her house, Brother Lim, and I said, I said, Bonnie, I said, this has gone on for 3 weeks. I said, you might need to do something. She said, well, I'll think about it. But when we went out the door, Cecil walked behind me and said, now, I know God don't make deals. I know that. But he said, I've been a-praying. And said, I told Bonnie last night that if she ever went back to the house of God, when she went to the doors at Bond, I'd be with her. We went over there on a Sunday afternoon and had a prayer meeting because she got to bed again, just me and my wife and my sister and pastor and his wife. And I can't sing a lick, but sometimes at home I like to try. And she thinks she's a fan. And she says, she looked at me and she said, Brother Johnny, said, would you do something for me? I said, I'd do anything I could for you. Because we just got through asking her what she's going to do, and she said nothing. She said, would you sing that song for me? After a while, it'll all be over. And so we went into singing about a rough and rocky road. After a while, it's going to all be over. And son's going to, I'm going to tell you what the power of God got on her till it shook her off the bed, didn't it, baby? I mean, it got her. It looked like I thought she's going to die or she's going to get up. But you know what? God's plan was, in a night or two, they opened them front doors, and here she was in a wheelchair. Pillows around her. They'd put her in that wheelchair, and here comes Cecil pushing her in. Our people got so excited that they're about to cancel vacations and cancel going off anywhere. Our young people was afraid to miss a prayer meeting service, but said, Sister Bonnie's going to get healed, and I want to be there. And we prayed a few times, and she you know, get better. But they came that night when... And I wanted to lay my hands on her and just scream, and I knew that wouldn't be right, so I said, Cecil, lay your hand right over that bone that broke. And he laid his hand there, and I laid my hand on top of his, and we was praying. All right. All of a sudden, I heard a scream like a Comanche. And something, he spun out around me. Cecil come around me a-running. He run to the back of the church. He run around the church. And what he's doing, Bonnie's just taking a little walk. He run back up to the front and said, God, just save me. I told y'all, I'd tell you this. Our kids got so excited about going to church. You know, we can't just tell them they can't have a ball game. Let's give them something better. They got so excited about what they're afraid to see. What's going to happen? What'll happen on this? Listen, we used to have great testimonies of victory, of being healed, or going home. You know, how long has it been since you sat beside of a good old faithful saint? I'm just preaching like I ain't preaching. I'm just talking to you. Sit there until they look up at you and say, can you see it? Did you hear that? Uncle William, Uncle Willie Langdon stayed there all night that night. Going out of here, Aunt Prudy had come over where he's at, and she'd say, baby, I wish I'd get you in my arms and take you and show you what I've been looking at, where I've been at. Come back in about 2 hours later, and she said, baby, I talked about an old preacher man that had done, Jumping Johnny had done gone, you know. I talked to him for about an hour while ago. He said, can you hear that singing? I said, don't you hear that singing? Can't you hear the rejoicing? Bubba, got to go. I'm out of here. Amen. We'll surround them. And I hope you understand what I'm telling you. I'm just asking for the old path. I just want to go back to what we come out. I told Ann a while back, I said, baby, I want to check out what we checked in with. I want to have what I started out with. Amen. I want to be able to say, this is what you gave me. Here's what I've done with it. And the only way you're going to do it, I'm telling you, church, I know you can't see it. You ain't running fast as we are. But there's a secret. That's what I heard the Lord say. There's a secret hid away deep in the house of God that you ain't seen yet. That's fixing to come out. Amen. He's fixing to come out and break out again. We're going to do it. Glory. We're going to take it back down off the wall and say, hey, it was good enough for them. It's good enough for me. We used to sing, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough. It will do when you're dying. This will happen when you're changing worlds. How them old weapons. Praying through. Father-in-law, we're closing. I'm close. I took too long. I'm sorry. My father-in-law got bit the leg here by a rabid dog, mad dog. Ain't no question about it. It bit another little girl before they killed it. They killed it, tested it. It was rabid. It was in Indiana, and he got back to Kentucky. They'd been in trouble. But within the next few days, it's horrible. We got down there. Some of the other family was there that's not saved, and they were surrounding, and he was just standing, and the floor swelled. He didn't know how he looked like that leg, horrible. And they was fixing to take him out the door. Now, he'd never doctored. Take him out the door of the doctor. My little sweet wife got up to her daddy and said, Daddy, said, don't go with them. Said, come home, Ben John. We loaded him up and brought him to the house, put him in our bed. And for 3 weeks, we took care of him. Watched over him. Watched him as that stuff was busting. And all the pain. The rot that was coming out in that leg. And grown men would come out and look at him and they'd turn and run out of our house. Some of our neighbors, we found out later, went over to the health department and said, we need to quarantine that house, get a warrant and get him out of there. We need to do something. And the man over the health department said, now listen, said, if you want something done with them people, said, you'll have to go somewhere besides here. He said, number one, he said, I knew John Gabbert. He said, I've not talked to John in a long time. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take more than what you got to get take going to his house. He said, I hope he's saved if you go over there. They went to the sheriff's department. The sheriff said, no, I'm not going to John's house. Go get the state police out of Richmond if you want to, and he's going to have trouble getting through McKee. Said, them homeless people, you leave them alone. You leave them homeless people alone. 3 weeks went by. Finally that night, as we did every night, we laid on the floor, you know, but we was getting him as comfortable as we could late in the night. Just me and Ann and her daddy. Boy, we'd prayed a long time for 3 weeks. But we prayed again. And it seemed as if there was a sound of almost like a charging army. And he looked around at Ann and he said, I just seen the doors burst open of heaven. And said, I seen the angel army coming my way. Said, hang on. I mean, the Holy Ghost come into that place. Within 3 days, he came to my church. Went back at the back, rolled that breechy leg to his knee, walked up the aisle. Not one mark, not one red place, not nothing. Healed by the power of God. We ain't going to get it if we don't get hungry for it. We ain't going to get it if we don't preach it. We ain't going to get it if we don't believe it. Let's try it one more time. What is it, Randall? Let's dip one more time. Let's jump in one more time. And let's see what God will do. Just give us one more time at it. Pray one more time. Try it again. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And he took down the weapons that David had dedicated. And he said, surround the king. We're going to anoint the man that needs to be anointed. We're going to do it again. Hey, if this thing stands the way it is, in a few days, I'm going to be an outlaw. I am. Because I ain't going to buy his insurance. He ain't going to tell me what to do. Not when it contradicts the book. I don't have his insurance, but I got the assurance. I don't have the blue cross, but I got the old rugged cross. And I'm going to trust it. It's done all these years. He'll take us on out of here. Amen. But church, if we don't pray till the bars break, we're going to be praying behind bars. But we got some weapons that they can't stop. There's something about when a mama goes to praying, gets down on her knees and prays. Pray through. Pray it all the way through. All the way through. I see things are coming in here everywhere, but I got to quit. I feel the Spirit of the Lord wooing us, talking to us. Oh, what God like to do. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, yes, church. I don't know what you're going to have to do, how much more you're going to shake loose, but we're going to have a breakthrough. We're going to have a move of God. Come and go with us if you want to, but we're going to have a breakthrough. God's going to do it again. And I'd just soon do it right now. Right here. And I feel like he's starting. Stand with me. I got to quit. Stand with me. Stand with me. Lift your hands. Father, I know it's been pitiful preaching, but Lord, it's what you laid on my heart this morning. Nothing else would work. And so I've just told them, oh God, what you've told me. Now I just ask you to confirm your word in the hearts of these young and old. That if you'd just let the Holy Ghost blow through this place for a little while here, let faith come alive in our hearts again. Let us go back to our altars with a new dedication and a made up mind to pray it through, to settle it. God, move every hindrance and let's have a revival. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.